The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you live and local in our WTBR studio. Good to have you with us this morning. It's Thursday, June 13th, and bright, sunny day out, beautiful day for a nice walk with the dog or maybe a bike ride. And that will lead us to what we're going to talk about this morning, which is the Bicycle Film Festival. And this is something, if you didn't know it was coming up, it is. It's coming up on June 16th, this Sunday, at the Stationery Factory in Dalton. And we're going to talk all about this with local folks, including Nick Russo and Allison McGee, and also Brent Barber. He is the founding director of the Bicycle Film Festival, something that's been around for about 24 years, and it's making its first appearance here in Berkshire County. So very exciting. Looking forward to discussing that here on the show this morning. First, let's take a look at the weather forecast and see what is in store for us over the next day or two. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny, warmer with highs in the lower 80s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Not as cool with lows in the lower 60s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Friday, showers likely. A chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. Temperature falling into the lower 70s in the afternoon. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, that sounds like a pretty good forecast to me. Still late spring, but we kind of consider this summer, I think, at this point. That's definitely where we're at. And I am hearing about a heat wave possibly coming next week. So everybody think about getting those air conditioners in the windows and still enjoy the nice warm weather for sure. But yeah, when it gets to the upper 80s and lower 90s and humid, that's when you know it's summer here in the Berkshires. All right, welcome back to the show, Morning Drive 89. 89.7 WTBR-FM, and I have a great panel of guests here this morning. Joining me here in the studio is Nick Russo, and Nick is the organizer of the Pittsfield Community Design Center. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good morning, Sean. I'm doing great.
Great. And on Zoom, joining us from various parts of the world, we have Brent Barber. He is the founding director of the Bicycle Film Festival, and Allison McGee. She's the president of the Berkshire NEMBA, which is New England Mountain Bike Association. So good morning to both of you, and hopefully your audio works. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
How about that? Technology working for us here in Morning Drive. I got to love it. So, Allison, where are you joining us from? That's quite a picturesque scene behind you.
Yeah. I'm joining you from Gallup, New Mexico right now. I'm out in the Navajo Nation doing some work with Little Bellows.
Wow, that's amazing. I think that's the first time we've had a video remote from the Navajo Nation here on Morning Drive. So thank you for making history this morning. And Brent, good to see you as well. So let's talk about the Bicycle Film Festival, which is making its first appearance here in the Berkshires this Sunday, June 16th. Tell us the origins of the festival. It's been around, I think I saw 24 years. So tell us how it got started, how you got interested in it, and where it's been, and how it landed here in the Berkshires.
Bicycle Film Festival started here in New York City after I was hit by a bus riding my bike. I was what was called doored. Someone had opened their door onto my pathway, and it knocked me into an oncoming bus. Wow. I'm fine. Obviously, I've been able to do this for 24 years. But I wanted to do something positive from that experience. Obviously, that wasn't a positive experience. And I thought, I want to show people how wonderful and how beautiful cycling is and in its different forms. And so I thought, what better way to tell people this than through stories? And filmmaking is a great storyteller. And at that time, in the year 2000, it wasn't as easy to make a film. So we had to kind of like find films from all around the world. And, you know, I was slightly connected, I guess, to the film world. So I was able to put together a program of past films. And I also did ask some people to make films. And then they say, oh, I can't do a film, but I can do an art exhibition. I can do a painting. Hmm. So that's how the art exhibition started. And unbeknownst to us, we put on this event for 5 days, and people made bike rides. All kinds of people just embraced this idea from different backgrounds, from the art world, from the film world. And at that time, we kind of like talk about this downtown scene of New York City. And then it spread throughout the world, and we sold out shows, and I couldn't believe it. I was quite shocked. Huh. And I was a younger self too, and a little bit less experienced. So I was like, really excited about, and same with the crowd. Never planned on doing the festival again after that.
Mm-hmm.
But the enthusiasm was so strong. People wanted to make it happen. So we did it again, sold out shows, and then we went to San Francisco, then went to London. And I think there was a sellout streak for decades. We ended up started getting cultural institutions asking us to the festival, like the Sydney Opera House or the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago or the Barbican in London. And, you know, if you've gone to one, we were doing the festival in these big cities, these big mega cities. And if you had gone to the festival, it was a whole week affair. And you would go on Tuesday night, there would be a panel discussion, maybe women in cycling or equal pay, or where we would have an academic, we'd have an urban planner and a world champion cyclist. And Mama Agata, we actually had one in Amsterdam, where Mama Agata, who's one of the films featured in one of the films that we have playing in Berkshire's. She was a woman from Ghana living in Amsterdam, and she is teaching women who had never had the opportunity. They're immigrants, refugees coming from the Middle East or some places else in the world who had never learned how to ride a bike.
Wow.
And so it's quite, and as adults, it's an amazing, this woman has a personality that fills up the screen. And that's something along with my travels. Up until COVID, I was traveling about 7 months of the year, going to all these festivals from Istanbul to Shanghai to Buenos Aires to Sydney, as I mentioned. So, you know, so Mama Agata is one of these characters I've had the privilege of meeting, who just kind of fills up the screen with her love of cycling and her passion for helping people. There's this big enthusiasm around the festival, to the point that we've had people make films for the festival multiple times as well. And I guess if you do anything long enough, you're going to come across some pretty incredible, talented people. And I'm always proud to say, I think it's now up to 12 that we've had 12 filmmakers go on to be nominated for Oscars. Spike Jones has made a couple films for the festival, or Mike Mills, or even we have one film here. It's a really great film. See, the programming of films that we did for Berkshire is, you know, some of the greatest hits, so to speak. So we have the privilege. We haven't been there yet, so we have the privilege to play some films from the last few years. And this one that I'm pointing out is called King of the Mountain. It's about a young man who lost all his family to genocide in Rwanda.
Mm.
And he found solace in cycling. And as he started biking more and more, he got really good at it. And now he's on the national team. And that's what that film is about. About how the cycling has transformed his whole life. If you had gone to the film festival, so we're on Tuesday night, panel discussion, different subject matters and different presentations, or Wednesday night, we have a big barbecue or gala dinner. We'll have like a free food. We serve like healthy food, locally sourced if we can, vegan. And we, in New York, we had like 2,000 people show up at one of these. We couldn't believe it. But we also do these gala dinners you know, for the artists, for the community. You know, one was hosted by Bacardi, and we have the CEO of Bacardi, and we have business leaders in New York City, leaders from fashion, leaders from the government as well, the Department of Transportation, or artists and filmmakers and people from the community like bike messengers and so on. So it's really nice to bring all these different types of people together. And then on Thursday night, we have art exhibitions, and those art exhibitions bring in some of the biggest artists in the world, frankly, like Ai Weiwei or Richard Prince from the fine art world, or street artists like Kaz or Shepard Fairey. You may remember the Obama poster Shepard Fairey did, or Obey. And then we'll have like a high school student next to these big artists that maybe could be at Mass MoCA, next to a high school student who's been taking photographs for a few years of cyclists that are amazing, you know, or a bike messenger who's never been in an art exhibition. So it's a very community oriented, where we have some of the most important artists of their medium with community members within the cycling world. And then we have concerts as well. We have like international acts playing live to scores of films or video art. And we've hosted these at, you know, like I mentioned, the Barbican Hall where the London Symphony Orchestra plays, or old churches, or even warehouses. So we kind of, as an organization, we just make it happen, you know, and,
Well, what strikes me listening to you and hearing about this is the sort of multidisciplinary nature of this festival, because certainly film fans are going to be interested in knowing more about it just from the nature of making films and you know, storytelling and things like that. Obviously, people that are interested in bicycling are going to be very interested in it. But then there's that international flavor to it too that you had mentioned, and the fact that it has grown to something, you know, that pulls in people from all around the world to tell these stories. So that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's the international aspect has been since year one, and I think it's because we had to. There wasn't enough films made in the United States about bikes that are quality, so that's been kind of like the nature of the festival. You know, it's quite remarkable. I don't think we have one in this program, but we have a lot of fans in Iran, and we've never been to Iran. And as you know, we've had films critical of the government there. So we've been very careful. We don't have a big, long conversation. It's just to the point where we have these relationships with filmmakers. As I mentioned, many filmmakers will come back. So it's interesting where we have these international relationships, but I think it's just that this bicycle is one of the best ways to get around. You know, it's so good in so many ways, and these stories tell that story, which and it's told from different perspectives, and we're open to that. And yeah, these stories. In fact, in this program as well, I wasn't thinking about it, but we have films from an animated film from the UK made by an actress. You know, we have the Nigerian film, they're not kids anymore, actually. This film's from a few years ago, but they are from Lagos, and they saw BMX on YouTube, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's that? And they found old BMX in a little shop, and that's how the BMX movement started. And now one of the best BMXers in the world is from Nigeria. Also Red Bull caught a hold of this film. And now they just had a skate park built for them by Red Bull. And that's pretty cool. And the filmmaker was very much engaged in that. We have films from Switzerland and Spain. We have Canada, obviously. It's nearby. China. And I'm just kind of going through the list as I'm telling you. So in the Netherlands, and also Navajo Nation, where Allison is right now. that film from the Navajo Nation is The Trails Before Us by Fritz Bisoy, which is the first mountain bike ride or race ever in the Navajo Nation, organized by the Diné people, which is pretty cool. And the film is exquisitely beautiful. It's shot in 16mm. And that's another thing, is just the amount of talent. One of the kind of backhanded compliments we get, but actually I love it, is that people who've never been to the festival, they'll come out and say like, wow, those films are really good. I'm surprised. And I'm like, well, we wouldn't be existing for 24 years if they weren't.
Right,
you know?
So, right.
Yeah, people tend to like expect less. But, you know, this is a, I consider a world-class event.
World-class event, just to remind our listeners here momentarily that we're talking about the Bicycle Film Festival, and this is an event that's happening here in the Berkshires for the first time ever on Sunday, June 16th at the Stationery Factory in Dalton. So if you are interested in what you've been hearing for the last few minutes here from Brent Barber, who's the founding director of the Bicycle Film Festival, it's going to be an event that you're going to not want to miss if you're a lover of films, short film programs, or bicycling, or just a good storytelling. It sounds like this is an event you're going to want to watch. And there are a couple of different sessions, right? And I do want to talk to Allison here for a moment and ask her how she managed to land this along with Nick here in the Berkshires, and what were the origins of bringing this here, Allison?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I know Nick and I had both been interested in it for a while. I've attended several different film festivals in the Berkshires. We've hosted many artistic type adventure films in the area for a long time that are always very popular, but I always felt like we were never had any that were centered around bicycling.
Mm.
And so as we were starting to really move forward with the Bike Skills Park project in particular, I was trying to find ways to come up with events that we could possibly use to not only bring awareness about cycling, but also raise funds and bring people together. And so I started to just kind of have in the back of my mind that I really wanted to have a film festival around bikes around our area. And as we were working on the project, I found out that Nick had also been looking at the Bicycle Film Festival program with Brent. And so I reached out to him and we started to collaborate on bringing that forward, because we really wanted to find something that was high quality, had a collection of films rather than just showing one, and that we could really turn into a fun event.
Yeah. And Nick, tell us your story on this big organizing work to bring this festival here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I kind of grew up as a only child, kind of keeping to myself and you know, working as a engineer and a planner in an office. So this is really my first sort of foray into, you know, bringing an event to life and promoting it. So it's been an amazing learning experience.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Bicycle Film Festival crew in New York has been so supportive in helping guide us in getting this, you know, off the ground for the first time here in the Berkshires. You know, they have all this expertise over the past couple of decades to tell us about. And we've, yeah, been super excited to get this, to get to this point.
And, you know, the Berkshires is a creative and cultural location. A lot of people already know that. Have you gotten reached out to by people, local people who might be interested, or maybe this is stimulating some interest in filmmaking or bicycling, or the combination of the two? Have you heard any interest in that?
Yeah, I mean, we get excitement from anybody who we talk about this festival with. You know, we're having a few rides that Allison is helping to organize with some local cycling groups around the, like, in conjunction with the festival. So we're hoping that, you know, people who come to the rides, either for the ride or for the festival, can kind of get that synergy between the two and you know, dive into this film culture of bicycling.
Yeah.
You know, we'll also talk a little bit more about. We'll have a special guest, Leah Davison, who's a two-time Olympic cyclist, who's based in the Northeast. So we were super excited when she heard about this and wanted to, you know, come be a part of the festival.
So she'll be there on Sunday as well?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. We can talk a little bit more about that, you know, with Allison, I'm sure, too. But, yeah, she'll be around for she'll be starring in one of the short films, and we'll do a Q&A about that or about her life. So we're super excited to have her.
Great. And notable also that you biked here to the interview this morning.
Oh, absolutely. So absolutely.
And believe it or not, we do have a number of people that come on the morning drive show that do bike here. So The Berkshires hasn't always been known. It's been more of a, you know, you have to have a car in the Berkshires. That's one of the things that you always hear about to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. And that myth is sort of being torn down bit by bit, where more and more people are finding the bike a good matter of transportation. Mm-hmm. In most weather in the Berkshires, maybe not all.
We're getting there with like the e-bikes and the fat bikes too. That'll really get you through any terrain and any weather. So,
I would imagine, Brent, it's probably a bit different in New York City, where bikes are certainly more year-round transportation throughout the city. Is that probably true?
Yeah, I mean it's grown exponentially since since we started this festival, and that's worldwide. I'd say. London is London, and now Paris is coming as these mega cities like Tokyo, mm-hmm. Mexico City, London, Los Angeles, all these big cities that we were going to.
Mm-hmm.
I think London has progressed the most. It's quite remarkable. Like, you will see at any intersection in the center of London, at any red light, like 30 cyclists. It's like, incredible. It's, you have bicycle traffic, and we now in New York have bicycle traffic, and we hear people complaining now, as we do as humans, complaining that the bike lanes are just full of people and people are riding too fast or whatever.
Yeah.
We're complaining about other cyclists, which is kind of funny, because it was always complaining about the car drivers, right, or the car drivers complaining about the cyclists. So it's
kind of a good problem to have, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite exciting to see. I like to think that Bicycle Film Festival has contributed a little bit to that. Maybe we laid some seeds around the world.
Well, there certainly has been quite a bit of conversation here in the Berkshires in the last 2 years about bike lanes, most specifically on North Street, which is our main street here in Pittsfield. I don't know if you've heard any of that talk at all, but it has been a big matter of conversation locally. Change is hard. And I would imagine, since you had mentioned that sort of the impetus to start the festival was an accident that you were involved with 24 years ago or more. I find that fascinating, that that's the sort of the genesis of something that has really lasted and grown so well, throughout the country and the world since then. But it shows that, when you have something as universal as bicycle riding and it's growing, eventually society changes its thought pattern, right? It changes the way we decide that what is the most important, or maybe there are some co-equally important things that need to be thought of when it comes to transportation or safety on the road or things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to show people how wonderful cycling is, and I thought, like, we live these stories, like, how do I let people know? Like, I think American culture, for sure, it doesn't occur to them that they can ride a bike, you know? And I thought, first off, I don't want to be dogmatic. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, like, preach. I don't want to, like, guilt people. I don't want to, like, oh, I'm an environmentalist, so I ride a bike. What keeps me doing the Bicycle Film Festival 24 years is because I love that I'm doing something that has a mission. And maybe that is an environmental message. But you don't go to the Bicycle Film Festival because you're an environmentalist. Or not a lot of people ride bikes because they're environmentalists. They ride bikes because it's the best way to get around, you know, because it feels good. And I think that message will get more people on bikes than kind of guilting people. And that's really what we want to do. We just want to have a good – let's show people a good time. Let's be hospitable. Let's have a party. In fact, I would like – if anybody's curious that's listening – Go to the Bicycle Film Festival, you know, and check it out. If you don't ride bikes, it's still going to be an amazing event for you. And if we have 10 shorts in a film program, you may hate two of them, or you may not, like, they may not, you know, go well with you or whatever. Who knows? I don't know if you're going to hate them. But 8 of them you're going to be really inspired by.
Yeah.
You know, there's something for everybody. And the programming has, you know, we've got that down over the years. And, you know, so cycling, I think, is growing. I think it's amazing in this country now. People, you know, I'm getting messages from people in the Midwest where, you know, it used to be, you know, you live in a rural place, and we're starting to have the festival in more rural places. That's something that's really something nice to talk about. We were able to adapt the program and come up with this program to serve smaller communities. And some of the feedback we're getting is, you know, folks, you know, maybe they don't have a budget to buy their kids, their teenage kids, cars, where in the past they did, you know, so there would be, you know, two parents at home, both have a car, and then maybe two teenagers having a car each. So you have four cars in the driveway,
right?
Where now they're like getting bikes, and some of them are getting electric bikes.
Yeah.
You know, so they're just discovering, oh, we don't need to make every trip in a car. You know, we can take some of those trips. If the trip's under 3 miles, it's really short. That's a really short trip. Yeah. And that's, I think, the majority. I don't have the statistics on that, but I think the vast majority of trips made in the United States are under 3 miles. And I'm sure our engineering residents might have some insight in that. And they, you know, the statistics for that.
Yeah. And just to remind our listeners real quick that we're talking about the Bicycle Film Festival, which is coming to the Berkshires for the first time on Sunday, June 16th at the Stationery Factory in Dalton. And we're talking this morning with Brent Barber. He is the founding director of the Bicycle Film Festival. Nick Russo is here in the studio. He's the organizer of the Pittsfield Community Design Center. And Allison McGee is joining us this morning from the Navajo Nation. And she's the president of Berkshire NEMBA, the New England Mountain Bike Association. Allison, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but go ahead. What were you about to say?
No, that's okay. Well, I think another benefit of events like this and thinking about the challenges that we've had in the Berkshires adapting to the changes in the cycling world is just bringing more awareness and understanding. So people like Nick and I, who are really deeply invested in the bike world, are aware of what other communities are doing, and we're watching that all the time, or we're visiting other areas that are approaching cycling in a different way. Mm-hmm. And when we have films like this or discussions like this, I think that helps expand the understanding of the people who are local to the Berkshires, who may not realize that other communities are embracing things in a different way than we are. And, you know, that things like adding the bike lanes has been an adjustment, but they've also been fully embraced in other areas with that adjustment period as part of it. And I think, for my role with Berkshire NEMBA, a lot of it is being an advocate, being able to not just try to push ideas forward, but also explain them and have people understand how they fit with our community and how they fit in other communities. And I think the Bicycle Film Festival, having all these short clips from around the world, is a great way to really bring that awareness to people about how other communities approach cycling.
Yeah, and if folks want a little bit more information, of course, we're giving you a whole hour's worth of program here on Morning Drive this morning, but it did reach the Berkshire Eagles A section this morning, right there on the left-hand column. Put on your helmet for the first annual Bicycle Film Festival. So a really nice promotion there in the Eagle today, too, if you want to find out more about that. Allison, we're coming up on our top of the hour break, but and I know we're going to talk more about Berkshire NEMBA here in a moment as well. But some of the proceeds of this film festival are going to go to support the Berkshire Bike Skills Park. Is that right?
Yes. the Berkshire Bike Skills Park is a project we've been working on for the past 4 years. It is a combined effort of Berkshire NEMBA, the Berkshire Mountain Bike Training Series, and the Wheel Monsters Cycling Club. And the goal is to get a free and accessible park built in Springside Park, hopefully on a 2.3-acre plot of land that would include a paved pump track, a dirt jump line, a dual slalom, and then a skills area, which is a really unique combination. There's nothing like that in anywhere nearby. We have some areas that have added pieces of that, or there are pump tracks. That's part of why I'm out in the Navajo Nation, is for some pump track openings, but nothing that brings all of those features together. And so it would be a really special and unique thing to have right in the Berkshires and right in Pittsfield. And related to what Brent was talking about the shifts in transportation, Springside Park is an area that is located by the Morningside neighborhood and by Reed Middle School. And so we've been trying to have it be something that's accessible to people who may not have cars and that might have bikes or foot be their only mode of transportation. And so having something really exciting that you can get to without having to drive, it was really important. So we're really hoping that this event helps bring some awareness. I'll have some information about it at the event, but also any additional funds that we are able to raise from the event will go to support that project.
That's great. And I know we can talk about that more in the second half of the show as well, and the progress being made on the Berkshire Bike Skills Park in Springside Park. That's also been a long running project, and it takes a lot sometimes to bring something new to the community. So I applaud you for that work. So we'll be right back. We're going to take that top of the hour break here. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, and we'll be back for our second half talking about the Bicycle Film Festival, which is happening for the first time in the Berkshires at the Stationery Factory on June 16th. That's this Sunday coming up. So we'll be right back after this. Stick around. We will return with Morning Drive.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hello, this is Congressman Richard E. Neal, and you're listening to 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from the Office of Cultural Development in Pittsfield. The next First Fridays at 5 is June 7th and will feature a community sponsor, Berkshire Pride, a Jacob's Pillow interactive performance, live music from Happy Together at the City Stage, and much more. Don't miss First Fridays at 5 on North Street in downtown Pittsfield. For more details, go to lovepittsfield.com and UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass. Now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Do you have a favorite show on WTBR-FM? Did you miss the last episode? We've got good news for you. Most of our shows are now available on podcast. You can subscribe to your favorite and have the latest episode downloaded to your device automatically on Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or Overcast. Go to WTBRFM.com/podcasting and find out more today. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is.
Start saving early. Even if it is $5 a week, setting aside money on a regular basis builds the habit of saving.
Just because you have a coupon doesn't mean you need to buy it now.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Join Peter and Jessica to relive the magic of Beatlemania every Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. For 5 decades, the Fab Four, where together or on their own, has changed the world of music. Tune in to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 FM, Tuesdays, 4 to 6 p.m.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on Thursday, June 13th, and a beautiful sunny day we have outside today. We are speaking with some folks about the Bicycle Film Festival, which is happening this Sunday, June 16th, at the Stationery Factory in Dalton. It's a really fascinating conversation. I hope you stick around for the second half, where we're going to get more into some of the films that are going to be aired shown, I guess, at the film festival. See, I guess I'm in broadcasting, so I always say aired. You know, that's just, I guess it's in the nature. But they will be shown and also talk about sort sort of the underlying efforts of the filmmakers and the special guests that will be coming there as well. Great discussion coming up. Let's do the weather forecast one more time this morning and find out what's in store for us from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny, warmer with highs in the lower 80s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. Night is cool with lows in the lower 60s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Friday, showers likely. A chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. Temperature falling into the lower 70s in the afternoon. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
So it does sound like a nice day today and then some showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. That is kind of a summer forecast for you. Again, welcome back to Morning Drive. And Nick Russo is here in the studio. Thanks again for being here, Nick.
Absolutely.
And by Zoom, via the miracle of technology, we have Brent Barber, the founding director of the Bicycle Film Festival from New York City, and Allison McGee joining us this morning from the Navajo Nation. She is the president of the Berkshire NEMBA, which is a New England Mountain Bike Association. Thank you all for being here again this morning. And Brent, something you had mentioned before, a couple things I want to bring up. One of which was the change in technology since the film festival started to today, and how you had mentioned it's easier to be a filmmaker now because the technology allows you to sort of have that very high quality image and sound, which maybe was elusive, let's say, in around the year 2000, when we still had, let's say, standard definition cameras. And if you really wanted to get into filmmaking, you had to rent real film cameras, which were expensive, and develop film. And now with the advent of digital video and cinema cameras that record to digital media, I'm sure that's all changed and really opened up a lot for many potential filmmakers. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it was interesting. The first years we used to get people sending us 16 millimeter films. Like, it was quite expensive to even ship it. Oh. Or even like if we were programming 35 millimeter, people may not have seen these, but you can have what they call three cans. They're quite heavy. If you lift them with your arm, it'd be heavier than a big laundry bag of clothing. It's quite heavy and expensive to ship around. We had three staff members just focusing on films, making sure the films were digitized. And because we were doing about 35 cities a year, and we every city has a different program. So we would digitize everything and go over all that work. Now, you know, I'll get back into the art of filmmaking, but I'll just talk about internally how it's changed for us. That comes to straight to mind is that now we just put everything in the cloud, and then the cinemas or venues around the world just download everything. And we have a sheet, you know, via email that they would refer to the films and what order they're supposed to play. And now there's DCP where all the films become one film ahead of time and goes into their system. So our first year we had an amazing projectionist. I remember him, Jose. He was at the Anthology Film Archives, which is this legendary place in New York, which was started by Jonas Makis, who also started the festival with me. He was in his 70s at the time. He's passed now. He's considered like the father of independent film. Anyhow, you know, we had VHS tape, we had Beta SP, we had 16, and we had 35, all in a short program. So as an audience, I don't think the audiences would now put up with this. The audience had to wait for the tape change. Yeah. You know, like, converted. It was a remarkable thing. And then, so now that's a lot different. But regarding films, you know, the thing that stays, you know, we think about this future that we have with AI, and I'm not going to make the conversation about AI and so on, but
another revolution on its way here. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Like in technology in general, is that I have seen for 24 years patterns of, you know, we have films like any traditional film festival. We have submission, hundreds of films submitted to us all from all around the world. And we review the films and you start seeing patterns. And one of the things that no matter what technology, I mean, one of the patterns we see right now is that every film has a drone shot.
How would you ever have gotten the aerial photography without the capability of a drone, which is almost ubiquitous at this point?
Yeah, where a helicopter shot used to be so expensive. Right? So when you had that helicopter shot of the cyclist going through the mountains or the city or whatever, it made the film look so like expensive and you know, made it look really good.
Yeah.
Where now you have people showing up, and this is a critical point of view.
Yeah.
Some people are able to pull this off. Usually the personality of the subject. Say I'm going to make a documentary about a mountain biker in Boulder, Colorado, and I would go there and meet them and get an interview with them in their garage with their bicycles behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But I would shoot that in 2 days because now time is different. Like people don't spend time, you know, generally speaking, you know, I'm being critical. And so they would shoot for 2 days, but while they do that interview for maybe an hour or two, then they go around and get the B-roll. So you get what the city Boulder looks like, and then you get the mountains around, and you get them riding through the, and maybe if there's some archival footage. It's a pattern that's consistently made, and we do accept some films like this because the stories are so good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just interesting that we see these different stories being told in this way. But I think now if you have this tool, you can make a phone, you know, can make a film on your phone.
Right. You know, I was thinking phones, GoPros, all the other very high quality video technology that's available at very inexpensive prices now.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's great to have a film that, and a lot of these films are shot so beautifully, but you know, it's really about the story. And you know, Sean Baker, the director, American director, just won the Cannes Film Festival, which is, I think, the most prestigious. I think Oscars are up there, but like, so the most prestigious, you know, acknowledgments of a filmmaker in the film world. And his first film, just three films ago, was shot on his iPhone. So he's just a great storyteller, and I think that's something that's going to be consistent for forever. You know, the storytellers will stand out, you know.
Yeah. And I think Nick wants to jump in with something. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, no, it just made me remember that I got to do, you know, kind of a sneak preview of the films we'll be showing this weekend. And there's a really good one, just like 3 minutes long. It's like a behind the scenes of filming a bicycle film. And it just shows the work that the cinematographers go through of filming these mountain bikers doing stunts off these jumps. And the filmmaker has an entire rig on his back. Well, he's also on a mountain bike, kind of chasing them down the mountain, following them with the motion capture. It's like this, the art behind all that. Really, yeah. It gave me goosebumps just to watch how they were just spending an entire day getting this one shot for, you know, maybe 30 seconds.
That's so cool. And that's a very short film, 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just it really, that's the one that stuck me so far.
Interesting.
Just watching all the previews of the film. So just the art behind that is still, even with digital today, that art of being able to get those shots and know what you need to do to capture those shots before you can even do it.
Yeah.
It's, I think that's fascinating to me.
And going back to something that Brent just said, it's really the transcendency, right, of the film. It isn't just because it's about bicycling, because it is in some way, but then there's a greater story to be told, cultural story, you know, all kinds of different realms that maybe you hadn't thought of when you sat down to watch the film. Is that accurate, Brent?
Yeah. I think it's cool that you brought that up because those guys, Ant Hill Films, have been making, I think our first film from them was 20 years ago, and they have emerged as, like, I think that, you know, there is a world, not all these films are from that world, but there is a world of bike filmmakers, and I would say they do quite well. They made we had a feature length film with them last year, but I saw this, actually it wasn't submitted to the festival, and I called them and I said, hey, why didn't you submit this film? And I saw this because I wanted to show people what it takes to get some of these shots. And these guys choreograph and work so hard to get steady camera. So yeah, there are films with beautiful, beautiful shots. And that's an example where we get to see the filming of it. Like Nick said, it's behind the scenes.
Yeah. Allison, let's go to you for a second and talk a little bit more about NEMBA and about your organization and how you got involved with bringing the Bicycle Film Festival here to the Berkshires. There's a real strong connection between those two, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. So NEMBA is the New England Mountain Bike Association, and there are chapters all across New England, and it's been in existence for over 35 years. And the Berkshire chapter was actually one of the early chapters in its existence. I've been the chapter president, I think for about 9 years now. And it's all volunteer effort. And it's a lot, it can be a lot of effort, but there's also the reward of a really strong cycling community. And, primarily what we do is, advocate for mountain biking, and trails. Mm-hmm. So really trying to encourage the parks and land managers in our area to embrace and support mountain biking, make it accessible, and fun, so that we're continuing to attract cyclists to our area, whether they're visiting or living here. And so then the project of bringing a pump track and bike skills park was something that we did to try to enhance that experience. I was traveling to the Kingdom Trails in Vermont and had ridden my first pump track there. And I was like, well, this sure is fun. I wish we had one of these in the Berkshires. And so then I started trying to research it and started talking with some of the local cyclists about doing that. And we started really digging into how could we make this happen. And the Berkshire Mountain Bike Training Series, who's one of our partners with that, runs a really popular race series in the summer at Springside Park. So they were a very logical connection for this because they're already using the park space for a fun event that has brought thousands of riders, but usually around, you know, over 100 each night. But they've reached, I think their data was showing that over 1,000 unique riders have come to that event over the past few years.
Do you feel that there's a growing community of bike enthusiasts here in the Berkshires? And also, is it something that is attracting people to the Berkshires to bring either new residents or just visitors to the place to explore and discover the Berkshires? Is that something that is also happening right now?
Yeah, very much so. And I think the Berkshires are really unique in that there has been a strong cycling community here from the start. There are a lot of people that I am friends with through cycling who are in their 70s and 80s who have been riding in the Berkshires since then and are still riding now.
Yeah.
They're responsible for building many of the trails that we have. But I think that there has been this great resurgence of new life in cycling that has come in recent years, in part because of activities like what the training series is doing, what Little Bellas has been doing, and clubs like the Wheel Monsters and the New England Youth Cycling Shire Shredders. All of those have really put in effort to make it more sustainable by engaging the youth in the cycling, everywhere from the riding skills in the community, but also the giving back to the trails and learning how to build trails. So I think that really has seen, I think, especially in the last 8 years, I've seen exponential growth in the youth and family connection in cycling. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think activities like this and the film festival event are really amazing because it's things that an entire family can enjoy together.
Right. And of course, the Berkshires also features the Ashuwiltacook Rail Trail, which is something that's been around for at least 20 plus years now and is expanding as well into new communities, including Pittsfield. Again, lots of ways to enjoy bicycling, whether it's mountain biking that Allison's describing or just something you can do with your family on a nice sunny day like today. Lots of ways to enjoy biking here in the Berkshires. To remind our listeners, we are talking about the Bicycle Film Festival, which is making its debut here in the Berkshires this Sunday, June 16th, at the Stationery Factory in Dalton. Just some fantastic short films that you get to watch, and they are really international in nature, and some very interesting stories that are being told. And Brent Barber is the founding director of the Bicycle Film Festival. He joins us here by Zoom this morning from New York City. Also, Allison McGee, you just heard, president of the Berkshire NEMBA, which is the New England Mountain Bike Association. And Nick Russo joins us here in the studio, and he is the organizer of the Pittsfield Community Design Center. Nick, I didn't really get to ask you a lot here, but tell us a little bit about the Pittsfield Design Center and how you're connected with this event as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been such a great discussion so far. Yeah. Like, I'm enjoying just listening and
and so are our listeners, as a matter of fact. So thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, I grew up here in Pittsfield. You know, graduated from PHS and went off, you know, to college for 5 years out in Rochester, New York. Mm-hmm. And came back 8 years ago now. Feels like it's been, you know, half a lifetime. But and while I was out there, you know, I got to really learn more about, you know, community organizing. Mm-hmm. There's a group called Reconnect Rochester that did a lot of what I'm trying to mirror with the Pittsfield Community Design Center now. Mm-hmm. In Pittsfield, which was kind of advocate for, you know, increased, you know, bicycle and pedestrian safety and infrastructure, mm-hmm. Getting around by transit, just rethinking about ways that you can connect your community around, besides, just driving, you know,
yeah.
It's making a whole kind of, you know, buffet of options.
Right.
I think and, is really the best the way.
And knowing the history and what has happened in Pittsfield, especially around urban renewal, which I'm sure Brent is familiar with in a lot of ways too, and how that changed a lot of cities in the United States in the 50s, 60s, early 70s, had a big impact here in Pittsfield. It shifted things from, you know, maybe bike and pedestrian friendly streets and things like that to really, you know, more focused on automobiles and cars and truck traffic and things like that, and wiped out entire neighborhoods. So I'm sure the types of things you've been talking about, you know, are also sort of coming to the fore as well, incorporating some of those things to allow, you know, more varied forms of transportation and safe connection between neighborhoods, right?
Yeah. No, like Brent said, like, getting on a bike is just fun. Like, it's the most amazing thing just to get out with, you know, in the air, putting your feet down, like, on the pavement when you're riding. Like, where else would you be able to just stand in the middle of the road? Like, I love when I stop at a traffic light and I can just stand there. Like, I'm part of traffic. And just when I go to visit New York City, I'll take my bike down on the train and get out at Grand Central Station and just, you know, go down Park Ave there to the Brooklyn Bridge. It's just an amazing ride.
What's it like putting your bike on the train and going to four hours to New York City?
It's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, we usually go down to Wassaic, which is like the northernmost stop for the MTA.
Right.
And you can just roll your bike on the train. Just lean it on the wall and they don't mind.
And that's pretty normal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of bike trains that are meant, like, you're not supposed to put them on like a peak hour train because there's like too many people on there. But okay. I usually go on like a Saturday morning. It's not peak hour. So I'll just roll down there. They don't mind. And I'll just get out and, you know, at the station in New York City, downtown in Manhattan, and just, you know, get to my friend's house in Brooklyn or go get some food. Went down to actually visit Brent and talk in person when we were planning out the festival, which was an awesome invitation. I was glad I could do that. I biked down to meet us there and, you know, went on my day. That's how I commuted.
That's pretty cool.
You know, I just want to give a shout out also to the Conte Community School here in Pittsfield. They've been organizing a bicycle bus in the mornings on Fridays. And you can just see the joy that the kids, like, who get to join on the bus as it goes through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
People just wait at the corner and join on as we come around the bends and we go up to the school in the morning, just as a big group of kids. It's been super exciting and positive.
Well, that sounds like fun, something to watch for.
Yeah. Definitely next year. I'm sure they're going to continue it up next year once the school year starts again. But it's helped to, you know, get kids more interested in the school day, reducing truancy, getting kids more excited to learn. Yeah. And it's been an amazing thing to see. So
great.
That's some of the joy that, you know, bike riding can bring
in
Pittsfield.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Brent Barber, I wanted to ask you one more thing about what you had mentioned in the first part of the show. You mentioned a film was it filmmakers from Iran, or was it about Iran? What was the connection there, and what kind of cultural impact can a film like this make across a border that isn't always that friendly?
Well, to be fair, I think we've been really discreet. And I want to say that this film is not, I was like, I should have screened that. I should have programmed that Iranian film.
Yeah.
But to be fair, one in particular, we've had a few. There was a mechanic that's blind in Iran at a bike shop.
Mm.
That he's gone blind and his son helps him and they still ride together. Like his son is riding and he sits on the seat. And, you know, he... So this one film that was really critical is about a woman. And, you know, you see her in a park. She's frantically... She sees a police officer down the hill, and she's in a park, and she's going by someone on a park bench and asks them, hey, can you help me go home? You know, it's like quite strange. She's talking to these strangers. You don't know, understand what's going on. And she meets them, and they're like, go ahead, just ride home. And she gets on her bike, she starts riding, and she gets pulled over by the police. And, the police confiscate the bike and arrest her. And we get the feeling that they're going to arrest her parents as well. She's a young woman and maybe a teenager. And so as she's in this police van who's just been arrested, they stop and you can see a bunch of guys, you know, riding by as a group, you know. So it's a really poignant film. But I just think that film can remind us that we have some of the freedoms, you know.
Yeah.
It's not illegal everywhere in Iran to ride a bike, but in some communities it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, I think it's really good. That has so many layers, that film.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, social justice and, you know, in how much freedom, there's a symbolism of a bike as freedom. And, you know, that's something we've worked really hard on, by the way.
Yeah. Now, is that a film that we'll be seeing on Sunday at the Bicycle Film Festival or no?
No, it's funny because my interview skills, I should never have brought up a film that we, that we like aren't playing.
Well, it was very interesting to me. And I think about the impact that a film festival like this would have in a place like Iran, which probably you're a number of years away from even thinking about being able to do. But just imagine the cultural impact of some of these films in places where, you know, that freedom just doesn't exist.
We don't make a relationship with them so much because we don't know what the consequences of having these emails with them are. So we keep it very minimal, you know. And so it's kind of interesting that we have to do this. But we've had such good cross-cultural relationships that I think that I like to think that we have impacted the world. Like, for example, we've never been to Indonesia, but we had the Indonesian embassy here. It was really fun. We had a bike messenger film from Jakarta with like Indonesian punk playing. And this film was really wild. They were doing these underground races and we invited the embassy and their staff to come and the Indonesian community to come. And it was remarkable. They came to what we used to call the bike messenger screening, which is kind of rowdy. People are cheering. And I hope people get rowdy and have fun in the Berkshires too. People are cheering. And it is funny because you have these women that are in the like very sophisticated and they came in hijabs and they're like cheering there along with the bike messengers for this Indonesian punk rock film, you know? So it's kind of fun to see this cross-cultural. It's not all serious. I mean, what we want to make happen is, I think, important and serious for our communities. But I think that we're able to use, you know, I'm not the best at this, but I really think the festival surpasses my own personality and it's really positive. It's a really positive experience. And that's why we all, our teams, there's people working on this festival for decades. And this is why we do this. And this team in the Berkshires, you know, there's a lot of people volunteering to make this happen, which in the current climate of culture now, where time becomes, you know, commodified and more valuable, that people put so much of their own effort, particularly, you know, Wiley's not here, but Wiley's part of the team, the Berkshires, but
Wiley Goodman,
Alice and Nick have put so much, this has been like months of work, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then I wanted to ask, I know I'm not the interviewer, but I wanted to ask Allison, because I am super excited. And of course, you know, we had like three festivals in the last 2 weeks and one, we had Greg LeMond and Ben, who's won 3 Tour de France. That was really excited, but I'm really excited about Leah Davidson. Can you tell what's going on with that? I know she, I knew Mandy on our team here is telling me about this. But,
and we're going to have to do that quick because we've only got about 15 seconds left, folks. I do want to thank you all for being here. Brent Barber from the Bicycle Film Festival, Allison McGee from NEMBA, Berkshire NEMBA, and Nick Russo from the Pittsfield Community Design Center. You know, we just ran out of time. This was great. I want to thank everybody. And don't forget, Sunday, June 16th at the Stationery Factory, for the Bicycle Film Festival. You're definitely going to want to see this.
Mm-hmm. Bicyclefilmfestival.com/tickets.
All right, there you go. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Bye.